everybody, and welcome to Pep Talks, and we're live streaming. We are live streaming from Burbank. You remember, this is my co-host, Steve Lolly. Steve, say hi to everybody.
Oh, hi, Eddie. I'm so happy to be here in Burbank. It just puts me in a coma.
Yeah, I mean, now, as far, if you're listening from Burbank, I love Burbank. You know, I love how, you know, the sunshine, it's just, it never ends, right? The sunshine never ends, and beautiful manicured lawns, and a downtown that Johnny Carson used to make fun of. You remember when Johnny Carson used to make fun of? But anyway, I want to welcome everybody to Pep Talks. We're live streaming. Who knows what's going to happen? Me and Steve, this is the first time we're doing the podcast. We want to talk about anxiety in the modern day world. Anxiety, which leads to, you know, anxiety, depression in the modern day world. We are not going to talk about violence, okay? We're not going to talk about, because that's what you want. You want us to talk about crime, and we're not going to talk about crime, right?
I can tell you're having anxiety right now, just reenacting, reliving these.
But I have anxiety all the time. How about you?
I meditate. I mean, deep breathing, morning and night when I can, and it really helps, because otherwise I just go into panic attacks and not be able to sleep.
You do. So now, deep breathing. Now, by the way, the reason why the idiots in the world like to listen to true crime, you know, like, oh, yeah, let's listen to about how this person killed this person and get some snacks. People were killed. Let's get snacks, right? Where, you know, when you're talking about deep breathing... No, when you're talking about deep breathing, people all over the country or the world aren't like, honey, there's a thing on deep breathing. It's on Facebook Live. Oh, well, can you pause it? I don't think you can pause live streaming. What do you mean you can't pause live streaming?
So what you're saying is they're forced to listen to this thing about deep breathing because they can't pause it. So they're actually like taken hostage by your deep breathing, peaceful love and meditation.
Yes. Could you imagine breaking in to people's homes? Like, it's a home invasion, right? And they think they're going to get killed, they're going to get abused, they're going to get, you know, all kinds of horrible things. And instead, we teach them how to breathe deeply. And that's what it's going to take for people to come out of anxiety. By the way,
put them into a spa situation.
Hey, I just want to say hi to everybody. And it's great to be here. And I want to be humble. I can't be because I read. Now, deep breathing, right? How hilarious is it that everybody I know has an app on their phone? They either have the Headspace app or the Calm app. Which one do you have?
I have neither.
You good
mean
for you.
Controlled meditation, is that what you're talking about? Or like,
well, yes,
planned meditation?
They have it on their phone now. Yeah, it's and they have a guy, and it's just a guy. You know, I got them both on my phone, but I deleted one already, and I'm thinking of deleting the other just because I don't do it, and I know how to meditate.
Yeah.
Right? So why do I need this thing on my phone? But I think people, you know, there's some comfort in having it on their phone.
Right.
You know?
Even Bob Dylan had a breakdown and had to find God. So, I mean, you know, we're... Even,
wait a minute.
Even Bob Dylan... Who,
there's nothing wrong with finding God.
No, I'm not criticizing it.
Especially
at all.
Bob Dylan. I mean...
I'm not criticizing it. This is a guy who fought against a war, who did all the right things, who was a good guy. I'm not saying he was a saint. But even he eventually get down on his knees. And so I'm just saying I'm trying to make it so that it doesn't seem like a freaky thing that people have had, like, these breakdowns at somewhere in their life.
But the thing about the modern world is the world we live in now. For instance, here's one issue, and I saw this on Facebook today, and hello everybody on Facebook. The fact that major cities, LA, San Francisco, New York, I'm not sure about Chicago as much, but major cities are becoming unaffordable to the average person. They are being priced out. I mean, the rents are insane.
Dude, you can be arrested for living in your car in Los Angeles County now. You can be put in jail for feeding the homeless. I mean,
I've heard those
are real things that are happening.
You can be put in jail for feeding the homeless.
Yes.
How is that? How is that?
It hasn't happened to me yet, but it's in the news. It's happening around the country. It's a documented thing.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I wish I had the details at hand, but I don't. But I've seen it.
What did the police say as far as feeding the homeless? Why is that illegal?
Some fucking crazy Republican passed a law. I mean, that's all you can, you know, some crackpot group of people. They decided that it was like feeding the pigeons. You know, we don't want the pigeons to shit on us, so we'll...
Right. Well, let's talk about, because I feel like maybe we're boring people, let's talk about a murder that happened in Burbank. It was a home invasion. No, I'm kidding.
There's no crime rate in Burbank. What are you talking about?
They have some, but not much. But no, but what I want to talk about is that, you know, the anxiety that people feel. And then that leads to, like, you know, just the anxiety, the depression. It is based in economics, correct? I mean, it's a lot of it. A lot of it is so based in economics. Like, people are just being squeezed economically when the rents go up and up and up and up, and there's nobody to stop it. You know, New York people have been pushed out of Manhattan. They've been pushed out of Brooklyn.
Yeah.
There's maybe a couple of blocks in Queens. You know what I mean?
Well, isn't this what America is, sort of, like people pretending not to be broke? I mean, that's kind of what America is. People pretending not to be broke. That's their whole...
Pretending not to be broke.
Yes, that's the whole... I mean, in 10 years ago, it was massive debt. Now, people can't pretend it anymore, and they're, you know, it's just... And, you know, they don't care about the tranny bathroom. They care about their neighbor not thinking they're, you know, $100,000 in debt. You know, and then their kids are $50,000 in debt from this college shit. That is this fucking illusion, right? This illusion, you know. And the 60s,
which illusion? That college?
College is going to lead you to a better life. You know that.
Yeah.
You know that somehow there's the key. This 1950s mentality thing. This Eisenhower and era.
Right. Right. That America is long gone. Like, people talk about the American dream. You know, now George Carlin had the best line where he said, in order to believe, the reason they call it the American dream
is because you have to be asleep to believe it.
Right. Right. And it just is, it's gotten bad. It's gotten bad, and so there's a tremendous amount of anxiety, and people think, oh, if I just buy this ball to squeeze. No, I mean, people, you know, and me and you were talking before the podcast started that people are not marching to break up banks.
No.
To break up Wall Street, to, you know, which are the things they need to be.
Well,
they need to be marching about.
Yeah, well, those are the institutions that are financing all of the shit. But this is the craziest thing. They don't need to march to break up the banks. All they need to do is take their fucking money out of the fucking bank. That's how stupid the population is, that they don't understand that every pussy marching Obama voting yuppie took their fucking money out of Wells Fargo, the banks would be forced to break apart. The establishment would be in major fucking peril. And that frustrates me. It's very, you know, I mean, that's really makes me angry talking about violence. That makes me really emotionally violent, I've got to tell you.
Well, that's the thing. We have no outlet because I'm not a violent person. I mean, I'm emotionally, you know, crazy, and I kind of have that outlet of the stage, you know, where I can be cathartic about my rage. You know what I mean?
But that's what you do on stage. That's why people are laughing, because you're able to, like, lift some shit off of them in this magical way where you're not ignoring it. You're actually going at it.
Well, now that's the thing. It takes courage. And here's the thing, because you brought it up, and I think that's brilliant. People are pretending that they're not broke. You know what I mean? People are pretending that everything's all right, because the big thing is like, yeah, man, I'm cool, man. Right? No, I'm seriously. People are like, yeah, man, it's all good. It's all good, man. You ever hear that? It's all good. Yeah. Oh, is really? Really? Is it all good? Is it all good? You know, but I understand that you don't want to lay shit on people. Like, wouldn't it be hilarious if people said, hey, how you doing? How am I doing? My God. The first thing I thought of was, you know, when I got up in the morning is how am I going to earn enough money to pay the rent? That's how I'm doing. You know what I mean? I mean, I it's so hard for me to find work. As an actor, it's, you know what I mean? Like, it's just hard. I was talking to a guy who said, he was going to me, and this guy was being super honest. He goes, man, there's no easy money out there, you know? Unless, and this is the funny thing to me about how America has really become the haves and the have-nots. And the have-nots outnumber the haves. Well, right?
But it's been that way for a long time. It's just,
but it's gotten far worse.
It's coming
worse.
Apart at the seams now.
It's gotten far worse.
Much more visible. It's much more visible than it
right.
used
like,
to be.
Right, like just look at here in Los Angeles, homeless numbers grow, and you know, there's certain streets you go down, and you're like, holy shit.
Yeah, Tent Alley.
Tent Alley.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're like, what the fuck? Why aren't people being taken care of?
Right, and why not?
Yeah.
Because it's a dirty thing, man. It's a dirty word to take. Those people are, you know, they're beyond help. I mean, this is the mentality of middle America.
Like, hey, you know who I used to see? He eventually got a part on, I think it was like Law and Order or one of these cop shows. His name is Eric Bogosian, and he used to do one-person shows.
Right, yeah, sure.
He used to do one-person shows. One was called Funhouse in America. Other was Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll was his big one. And he used to say the homeless are there to keep you other schmucks obedient, like they're reminders. If you don't do, you know, they're reminders, like you, that if you don't keep, you know, doing your job. Now, he was a real good voice, like a strident,
yeah,
like not strident, but he was like an anarchist voice of dissent. But he got a part on Law and Order, I think, or it was one of those cop shows. I wish I could remember. And now you don't hear about it. And that's what happens to a lot of people, I think.
Well, we're in a business. I mean, think this was making me laugh the other day. We're in a business mm-hmm. where you're basically going in front of somebody going, do you think I'm attractive enough to keep me from selling insurance for the rest of my life? So it's very hard to then stand up and go, fuck the man! When you're going in front of somebody going, hello, my baby, hello, my darling, hello, you know, like there's a guy with
that's the thing I do hate about entertaining people live is that, I mean, I have to believe in myself, though, and like what you talked about, like talk about the rage and anxiety and keep it real instead of like being in front of people going, oh, isn't everything funny? Pants are funny. Cargo pants are funny. Isn't the new bubblegum funny? Like,
you could have gone that way. You're very funny doing that, and you could have probably gone
that way. Well, thank you, Steve. I didn't know. I would love. And another thing is like, you know, like guys like us, there'll be people watching this, listening to it, whatever. And they'll be like, these fucking guys are losers. Like there's the whole section of the population who'll be like, what the fuck?
That's like, okay. Because guess what? Those people are getting to watch Donald Trump drain the swamp into their fucking living room right now. Those people who think we're losers because we didn't inherit $700 million. And trade it for a fucking casino magnate are now getting to watch their trust fund yuppie fucking shoulder pad wearing.
What, you know what it is, though? There's some taboo about admitting, and I talk about this a lot on my solo podcast, and I don't want to do solo anymore. I want to get in a studio. I want to have, you know, guests, because it can get sad when I'm just in my car, I'm in my Honda Element, and I'm like on my cell phone going, I'm just but it's what we're all trying to do. You know what I mean? And instead, everybody is putting, like you were saying, everybody's putting on this face that everything is so great while they've got all this fucking debt. And anyway, what should be happening is that there should be, and it's going the other way instead of the way I'm about to say, is there should be people giving a shit about other people. There should be, instead of saying this guy's a loser, the homeless are losers, it's like, oh, this fucking idiot can't get a job. It's like we should be help, like our government should be there to help people. You know, communities should be, you know, stocked with libraries and training and education should be free. I mean, Bernie Sanders brought up some of these issues.
Yeah.
Right? Like fucking education. You know, I remember talking to this guy I thought was pretty cool. And I said, I thought he considers himself liberal.
Yeah.
Right? Well, but check this out. When I said, yeah, I agree. I said, yeah, I think fucking college education should be free. And he just was like, oh, really? He like turned on a dime and was like, really? Who's going to pay for that?
Well, it was free. It fucking was free. I mean, wasn't there a time where you could go to a state school for free? And over decades, our equity has gradually been. Didn't Ronald Reagan, one of the first things he did to take the money from the college? If you went to a college, a university, you paid to the college. You went in debt. You went in debt to the college, not to a bank. You see, Ronald Reagan changed that. He made all of the debt from the colleges go to the banks.
Yeah.
That was so. And I mean, I don't want to get into a whole fucking, you know, but systematically, our equity has been stripped away. People's act. So instead of going, you know, we're fucked. We fucked ourselves by voting for these fascists. Instead of doing that, we blame our fucking neighbor and go, you know, I'm better than you. So it's that conflict. Like, I hate to sound like Karl Marx, but it's that conflict between us as neighbors and not us against the power structure. You know, that.
Right. Right. People don't want to, like, it seems they don't want to unite against the power structure, like the real power structure. They want to do the boutique issues.
Oh, dude.
You know what I mean?
You're getting me fucking crazy. I mean, it drives me crazy, man. Truly drives me crazy.
But now we're all driven into, like, everybody's being driven into self-help. You know what I mean? And by the way, I just want to say I am giving self-help. No, because I have to make some money. Do you understand?
Help him. Help Eddie.
Help me. And I'm giving self-help workshops. And what we're going to be doing is kind of going in a different direction than meditation. It's we get on rooftops. And we have to sneak on rooftops. And I know a lot of you thinking now, oh, he's being funny. He's making an attempt to be funny on this podcast because it's gotten too serious. Well, no. We're going on rooftops. And we're just scream. Did you ever see the movie Network?
Network.
By the way, if you guys have not seen the movie Network, you have to see it. It's brilliant, right? It's
That's
brilliant.
Great,
Patty Chayefsky. You should look up Patty Chayefsky. It's just maybe the best screenplay ever.
That's
and way cool. ahead of its time. Yeah. It predicted reality television.
Yeah.
It predicted reality television.
I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore.
But we're going to get on rooftops, and this is my self-help program. We're going to get on rooftops, and first we're going to cry. We're going to cry, and you know those big, big heating vents? Those big heating vents? Let's talk about a murder. Let's talk. Frank Johnson was murdered in Illinois with a knife. Is that what you want? No, but, you know.
It's better than killing people, Eddie, just screaming off a rooftop. It really is better than. Although with technology, we can just scream at each other online now. Or do you really?
Well, that's horrible. That's horrible. When there's nothing worse than a Facebook fight or a Twitter fight. Like, and even if you're not in them, right, in the way people go at each other, and you read it, you read the venom that people.
I want to be right. There's two people screaming at each other. I want to be right.
But the venom is just so horrible.
What about the ones that pull you in, man?
Those because
are the
you
worst,
know.
Because you identify with one side or something.
Right.
This is the devil, man. It's bad.
Well, that's what I mean. And I'll tell you, I know a lot of people are hurting right now because award season is over. Now, we were talking about this. Before getting on the air, award season is over, and that is that's a tough blow, I think, for everybody because, you know, in a society where there's so many have-nots and you know, the homelessness is on the rise and people don't have health care and or jobs. The one thing they had was getting to see millionaires vie for Oscars, or, you know,
and giving social justice statements in between the Oscars too, just to remind you that they're good. They're good people, you know, out there dressed up in their you know, luxury shit.
It is amazing how I do cry. I do cry during award shows, like Sam. I like Sam Rockwell, and he won Best Supporting Actor.
Oh, really? That got you choked up, huh?
Well, I like to cry, and please take this cue: cry when you need to. You know, cry. And I think we should do more public crying and have it to be okay.
That could be your self-help. Cry when you need to. Cry when you need to with Eddie Pepitone.
And but also, like, at work, because so many of us, when we're at work, when you're in an office, you don't want people to see you crying. And you know who you are. So you go into bathrooms and you cry in stalls, right? You cry in stalls, or you find a staircase. Right? Isn't that what people... I haven't worked in a corporation.
Until you don't have the job anymore, then you can cry at home. Until you don't have the home anymore, and then you can cry under the freeway.
But yeah. I think people should live stream. Like they're
crying? Like a cry stream?
Well, it's just to show vulnerability, because to get back to the one of the points you raised is that everybody's trying to look so fucking cool in this anxiety-ridden world we have, you know? So why can't we be vulnerable in public?
I think even if you cry alone, you lift the burden off of some unsuspecting person. Like, even if you cry,
it's kind of true.
You know,
if you cry alone,
there's some confession going on there. You know,
I believe.
I mean, with all kidding aside,
I agree. I agree with that. That's an interesting thing. That when you because to feel your pain instead of inflicting it on others is a great thing. You know what I mean? But most people don't know how to – I think so many people don't know how to express their emotions, and they have too much on their plate. And that's one of the issues I wanted to talk about too, is like, how do we deal with being overwhelmed without getting on antidepressants? Now you – and antidepressants can be – I guess they can be okay if you need them, right, if genetically. Have you ever been on them?
No. Some people need them.
I have been on them.
Have you? How did you get off?
That was hard. I was on Prozac for years, and I got off 5 years ago, and I never knew how difficult it was going to be to get off them. But it really was kind of rough, you know. I didn't have a psychiatrist. Like, I didn't, like, you're supposed to
wean yourself off, right?
And I didn't really do that.
Well, not to rub anything in, but I really think we should get back to the award season stuff, because, you know, I want to lift the, you know what I mean, lift the burden from people's.
Well, what's funny about the award season is that I do get, like as much as I say, God.
You get choked up.
I get choked up. Like, I think it's about seeing someone, you know, because a lot of them do get choked up for real. Right?
Right.
When they win it. But it is also hilarious, like when you step out of it and you go, what does this really mean? Like, they're all patting themselves on the back for, what a great movie. Like, for instance, they're like, oh, movies. Like that whole thing is like, movies are just, you know. And it is a healing thing. Movies can be very healing, right?
Yeah, well, we're just talking about network. I mean, there used to be a time when I cheer for Get Out this year. You know, like, I got choked. I really loved Get Out.
I
thought it was
Get
a
Out.
Great, great movie.
Oh,
a
truly really? I didn't
great,
see Get, I didn't
truly
see Get Out.
Great, great movie that will go on for decades. But I have one movie to cheer for. It's not like 25 years, 30 years ago or something. You're watching these, you know, in the 1970s, it was really, there was a counterculture happening. Whereas now, it's just this charade, this dinner theater for the rich. That's what it is.
Theater for the rich is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful way to put it. Well, first of all, like, right now, I was reading Death Wish is out. And that is, it's trying to, I didn't see it.
Death Wish, though, 30 years ago.
I would never see it. And it's Bruce Willis. And he's, and I mean, in a way, he's tapping into, I mean, it's Eli Roth, too.
Oh, who, torture porn.
Torture porn. And they're trying to tap into what we're kind of talking about, which is the frustration, you know, economically that so many people are feeling in this country, right?
I don't know if you're reading into it. I think they just want to sell tickets. I mean, they're cheap. They don't have any better fucking idea. And a corporation won't let them do anything different than that anyway. And Death Wish is something that was made in 1982. What was it, 79? They made Death Wish with Charles Bronson.
Yeah.
So it's just,
by the way, I had a dentist in Larchmont Village here in Hollywood, Hancock Park. And he was a little Russian dude, and he used to be like, Charles Bronson? I was lucky enough to be the dentist for Charles Bronson for a while. And then Charles, because I saw Charles Bronson's picture up in a dentist's office, and he was like, yeah, he was my patient. And I tried to get some information from him, and he said, I can't talk about Mr. Bronson. I said, well, did he have plaque? He said, I'm not at liberty to discuss him. But I mean, Death Wish is this movie where they're...
I know, dude.
They're supposed, but what did you mean by it's dinner theater for the rich? Because it's Wall Street, it's just yuppies, financing,
dude,
the movies.
It's yuppies creating art for each other. That's where it's at. It's yuppies creating art for each other.
Yeah.
Yuppies are basically running all of the art world. The entire art world has been co-opted by Madison Avenue a long time ago. And just gradually they've just systematically done this thing where they... You know, look at the movies. The last 15 years, the most critically acclaimed American storytelling: a king who can't speak right, and a suffering ballerina, a fucking angry. The true story of the angry figure skater. The Joaquin Phoenix is falling in love with his iPhone. This shit makes Terms of Endearment look like Taxi Driver. You know, this shit is so boutique. It's just the burden of privilege. You know, oh, the true story of the Harvard student struggling over who's going to own the technology. These are Oscar stories. Those are Oscar stories. There's no counterculture.
You know what was a great counterculture movie this year? Of course, it was an indie. William Dafoe was in it.
The Florida Project.
Florida Project. If you get a chance to see the Florida Project.
I heard. I haven't seen it, but I heard.
Holy shit. That is about people living on the margins, and it is painful
to watch. I
heard
that. Yeah, yeah.
But it is good.
It is good. Entertaining? I mean, could you sit down with your family and watch that movie? Could you take what I'm saying is
that... I don't think so. I think... That is like a serious movie. I don't know if you want.
But I mean, The Godfather, Cuckoo's Nest, Chinatown.
Now, what about The Godfather? Why is The Godfather subversive?
It's subversive because it's commentary. It's a commentary about a guy trying to survive. Mm-hmm. He's a good guy, but he's going to do what he fucking has to do. And he builds a fucking empire. And it's, you know, Coppola said it's a comment on capitalism, whatever. But there's a truth. There's a primitive truth to it. It's not a
Coppola now has wineries.
I know. And that's all you need to say. That's it. That says everything. It really is, dude. It's just these yuppies creating art for each other, and they think we don't notice. They think we're keeping up with them.
What about The Shape of Water?
That was a good movie, man.
Yeah.
It was a good movie.
So you wouldn't put that in the category of yuppies creating art. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not all...
It's on the periphery. It's on the...
Is it because it takes so much money to make these fucking movies?
Oh, dude, that's definitely part of it. Like, you're onto something there. Because they didn't cost that much. Movies like Easy Rider, I mean, these movies didn't cost that much back in the day.
Easy Rider. By the way, there's a great book. I think it's called Raging Bull.
Easy Riders,
Raging Bull, and something else. And it's all about the 70s. They were so fucking high making those movies. Dennis Hopper and Peter Fonda were, especially Hopper, but Fonda, they were so ripped.
Yeah.
People were scared of Hopper on the set. I mean, they were scared of this guy. You know, what he would do, and he was not a good guy.
No.
In a lot of ways.
But they left us with this great, you know, all this great stuff. But they were not nice people. But like Cuckoo's Nest, and there were great works of art.
Ken Kesey was an amazing guy. Ken Kesey, who wrote Cuckoo's Nest, he was just like, politics, man. He goes, just walk away from it, man. He was like, it's bullshit. Kesey. What else did Kesey write? But he was Ken Kesey's great one to read.
Yeah,
great
he was part of the electric Kool-Aid acid test.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, I mean, my dinner theater for the rich is just.
I love that. I love the same. But a lot of art is made for other wealth. It's in other words, nothing really is supposed to ruffle the feathers, and that's kind of an insight into the Oscars. Like when I watched the Oscars, you know, was there anything subversive that happened? Everybody talked about Frances McDormand, you know, stand up, ladies. Like there definitely is something into women empowerment, but it doesn't get to the heart of the issue that fucking people need to, I mean, seriously, people need to have more done for them. In other words, the 1% can't be controlling all the fucking wealth. And then we're like, we want, you know, tranny bathrooms or whatever it is. We want bathrooms for everybody. Yeah, we want humanitarian things for everybody, but we also want a distribution of the wealth, so it isn't like
you can't stand up to them. You can't go after that. If you go after them, then you're getting into some dangerous fucking territory. You can stand up for women's empowerment. You can stand up for gay fucking marches and mm-hmm. tranny bathrooms and mm-hmm. marijuana legalization.
But
as soon as you start to say we're gonna break up your bank, we're going to stop your pipeline or your droning or your fracking or your military industrial complex.
That's right. Yeah.
Then they go, you're fucking Bernie Sanders. Get the fuck out of here. Okay. Yeah. We want a white woman to do it or a black guy. We'll give you a symbol of diversity to fuck you in the ass. Because that's what it's boiling down to. I'm waiting for the left to wake up from their symbol of diversity bullshit. You know, that they're under this fucking impression that some minority, I wish a half mm-hmm. black, half Muslim, Native American handicapped woman could come fucking along and change the world. But it might not be. I mean, you know, it might not be. It could be a white guy. You know what I mean? It was mm-hmm. fucking Kirk Douglas who stood up to Joseph McCarthy, if you remember.
What did Kirk Douglas do?
He put Douglas Trumbo. He credited the blacklisted writer. And then it all fell like a house of cards as soon as he credited him.
Right.
He gave him the finger. He goes, fuck you. I'm going to credit this guy, this blacklisted guy.
Yeah.
And then McCarthy collapsed. The whole thing collapsed.
Yeah.
So sometimes it is a white guy. I'm just saying,
right.
You know.
But so until we break that, until we break the power structure, you know, my self-help stuff, we're going to scream from the roofs. We're going to scream from rooftops. We're going to scream things like, I wish that I could be whole. I wish I could be, you know, that would be amazing if, like, instead of people, because people, it's scary when, you know, when people get into road incidents because all their distilled anger, it's like they really, you know, if someone cuts you off on the road, I mean, if you had a good job and, you know, everything was going kind of good, you would just go, all right, that guy. But what happens is all your anger gets distilled from that incident into that confrontation. But if we could, you know, say things to each other like, I am sorry, you know, I am sorry you cut me off because all my anger, I am not whole, is what I want to say.
You would scare the shit out of the other driver. They would get the fuck out of there. Really.
People are scared by the truth.
Yeah, especially when it's said with authority like that. Didn't you say your wife gave someone the finger? Was that a true thing or were you just making that up for the stage? And you said,
we both, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean,
give the finger to the elderly. Don't give the finger. You have road rage.
Who doesn't in LA? Because too many people are. Oh, you don't drive.
Yeah.
Right. Well, too many people are on the road. There's too many cars. You know, there's too many cars. Like, and that's
box.
What the whole city's about is like squeezing people in.
And people think, you know, it's normal, though. It's just like a normal state of affairs that we're, mm-hmm. you know, until I got a bike and got out of a car, seriously, and I have no road, I have no rage anymore.
All right, well, we have to start, you know, we have to start kind of winding down. We have 3 minutes left to the podcast, but what I want to say is that, look, award season is over, you know. But it'll be back. It'll be back in, you know, it starts in January of next year. So just hold on, even toward the end of December. There'll be another award season coming. self-help. I'll be teaching self-help groups. You know, you guys look for techniques like sometimes just squeeze a ball. Just squeeze a little ball and listen to a true crime show as you're squeezing the ball.
Eddie, I want to see you host the Independent Spirit Awards. That's what I want.
Who hosted? Oh, is Nick Kroll and John Mulaney.
Oh, God, it was like watching two accountants tell jokes at their fucking company party. Oh, my gosh.
But that's what it is. That's
I would never want that job, by the way, ever, hosting a
That's who
award.
You have to be in Hollywood, right? You have to be, hi, I'm young, and I look good, and I want to be part of everything.
Wow, that's cuts to the quick, dude. That's constantly quick. Unless you're, you know, Chris Rock, you can do, you know. If you're Chris Rock, you can say what the fuck you mean, you know. And so there's like a few people.
Chappelle,
yeah. Mm. Or Eddie Pepitone.
Well, we'll see. But I want to thank you, Steve.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. We're going to be doing pep talks. We're going to be going all over the place with it. And we'll be developing it. And this was the launch, so to speak, of the new pep talks. And anything you want to plug? I want to plug that I'm going to be at the Punchline in San Francisco, March 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. And actually this Sunday, I'll be at Flappers at 7 o'clock and the Comedy Store at 8:30 on this Sunday.
I have a movie out on YouTube called Yoga Ho. So if you get a chance, go check out Yoga Ho. That's it.
All right, everybody. Thanks a lot. And we'll see you next time.